Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. At least four state attorneys general are investigating the for-profit education industry, looking into claims the companies focus more on marketing than seeing to it students graduate. Now, Attorney General Kamala Harris's office has asked a Sacramento court to enforce a subpoena seeking records from San Diego-based Bridgepoint, 40,000 audio recordings and transcripts that might show whether telemarketers have been violating false advertising laws. Officials for the publicly traded firm declined to comment. Nevada's primary hospital for the mentally ill appears poised to lose its accreditation. The Sacramento Bee reports the agency that accredits hospitals across the country looks set to deny accreditation to the Ross and Neal Psychiatric Hospital in Las Vegas, largely over its previous practice of busing mentally ill patients across the country with no plan for care when they arrived where they were sent. The Bee launched into a series of reports after learning about one man who arrived at a Greyhound bus station in Sacramento. He later told the Bee a Nevada doctor suggested he would like sunny California and told him to call 911 upon arrival. Many veterans sign up for the military with the hope of using the GI Bill afterwards to pay for college. But combat injuries like PTSD and brain trauma can make it hard for them to transition from the battlefield to the classroom. One California community college program offers simple yet elegant support for veterans on campus. Aaron Glantz with the Center for Investigative Reporting has the story as part of our series Life After War.
In Iraq, Danny Ikri watched helplessly as a rocket-propelled grenade killed a five-year-old boy. 8 years later, he was sitting in English class at City College of San Francisco when the event came flooding back.
I couldn't sit in class anymore. I had to leave. And I didn't, you know, the panic, the heart is palpitating and your heart breathing and your blood is boiling and all the different memories coming back. I just couldn't go on.
Ikri stormed out of class, but because he was at City College, he didn't have to go far for help. He walked down a flight of stairs, across a lawn, and into a special on-campus clinic run by the Department of Veterans Affairs.
I went in, spoke to one of their counselors, and he just listened, had me talk it out, calmed me down, and I don't know what I would have done without him. I mean, I was kind of in panic mode.
The VA clinic at City College doesn't look like much. A few cubicle-sized offices off a hallway in the campus's main administrative building. There's an office for a social worker, a psychiatrist, and a handful of clerks who help veterans process their GI Bill paperwork. When it opened in 2010, the clinic at City College represented the first time that the national agency charged with helping veterans had ever offered health care on a college campus.
You want to make it as easy as possible for veterans to receive services, whether it be mental health services or social work services.
Keith Armstrong runs the VA clinic at City College.
What we know about veterans, especially veterans that they're coming home from war and that have symptoms, you know, consistent with post-traumatic stress, is that they may be avoidant around getting help.
But the VA has been slow to build on the success of its City College clinic. 3 years on, the agency says it is still gathering data on best practices and will begin to provide more on-campus services once it is convinced taxpayer dollars will be well spent. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers have begun to wonder whether the VA is doing enough to back up the $10 billion it spends annually on the GI Bill with programs to help veterans graduate. In May, the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office issued a report saying the VA lacks a plan for ensuring veterans succeed on campus. At nearly all campuses with large numbers of veterans, the VA provides no health services. At City College, the drive for an on-campus clinic started with the football coach. George Rush persuaded the chancellor, a former VA psychologist, to help. And together they raised private money to build the new VA office at a student lounge next door.
Prior to where we are today, it was very uninviting. You know, you had to stand in a hallway. It was one person coming in an office at a time. There were no chairs. It was very, very upsetting if I was a veteran coming back and thinking I had my life on the line and the things that I'd gone through. And I was standing like a kindergartner in a line, you know, waiting to see somebody.
On a Tuesday afternoon, Marine Corps veteran Edwin Del Rio is sitting in the lounge strumming his guitar. Earlier this spring, he was struggling. He told me he stopped going to class.
You called the suicide hotline, so were you thinking about it at that point?
Yes, I was.
What were you thinking about doing?
Cutting my wrists.
In Afghanistan, Del Rio came upon a family, including two small children, that had been shot by the Taliban. Here at the Veterans Lounge, he's able to talk to others about his experience and learn that he is not alone.
We slept together in the same tents, in the same camp, went on the same patrols, wore the same equipment, and experienced the same hardships. And so we knew the problems. We knew the problems that each of us might face, and we are family.
Danny Acree says going back to school at a college that supports veterans has helped change his life. When he returned from Iraq in 2004, he slept in a crouching position and reacted defensively when people approached. Once, he punched his father in the face.
I started going to school here, and it just took on a whole different persona. I started getting really good grades. I started thinking maybe I can go to a really good university.
Acree hopes to transfer to UC Berkeley, and he wants more veterans to get the kind of help he's had.
Every place should have something like this to turn to, because who knows what one of these veterans, you know, it might be worse than how I had it in class. You know, they might have it worse, and maybe they won't get the help they need in time.
Acree and some of the other veterans aren't waiting for the VA. They're traveling to other campuses to encourage them to start similar programs. For the California Report, I'm Aaron Glantz.
Aaron Glantz's story was produced in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. Our series, Life After War, continues tomorrow as Scott Schaefer brings us the story of older veterans surprised to discover they have post-traumatic stress syndrome long after their military service has ended.
You know, I'm getting close to 87, so I didn't think it was, I thought it was kind of a stretch at 85 or 86 to talk about something that happened before.
We'll hear why it's often the wives of older vets who push them to finally confront their PTSD. California has the largest population of veterans in the country. Make sure you don't miss a single segment of Life After War. Subscribe to our podcast. You'll find us on iTunes, and of course, there's a link at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, July 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.